Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio. I don't know what this episode is, but we have a couple guests here. This is a pretty cool event because it's our 14th anniversary, so I have a couple of special guests here. Well, thank you. So we have What's Good Games, Andrea Renee, and Brittany.
Two-thirds of us.
Yes. You're missing your...
Christine Simer.
Yeah, shout out to her. Yeah. And also we have Khalif on Spot on Me.
Hi, guys.
What's this?
You drunken dork.
I wish I was drunk. I'm not drunk
You're
yet.
Not?
Not
we
even
can
close.
Fix that.
Yeah,
please.
I have some whiskey over
you
here.
You two are going to sleep and everyone's going to bed. Calm down.
That's true.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I just want to talk about like just how we started podcasting and everything, you know, because Andrea, like with you, I know you as like a host and I think you were in a couple of podcasts before What's Good Games. Like
correct.
Weekend Confirmed.
That was the original, the OG.
So that was your first
podcast
well, officially.
Technically, no. So technically I started hosting and producing for video games specifically at a site called thisweekend.com that specialized in podcasts on iTunes back when iTunes podcasts were really becoming a thing in the era of the emergence of the iPhone and moreover the iPad. So we're talking like 2009, 2010.
Okay.
And so that whole network was devised of This Weekend blank shows. And so I came on as the host and producer of This Weekend Video Games. Mm-hmm. But then they brought me on as a full-time producer to oversee This Weekend Tech, This Weekend Marketing, This Weekend Football, This Weekend iPad. I hosted at one time, I was hosting two or three shows a week and producing 10 shows a mm-hmm. week that were all live podcasts that would go up as an audio form in iTunes, but also would go up as a video, which is still pretty uncommon, but you can still get video in iTunes, which most people don't realize.
And for you, Brittany, what was like your first podcast recording?
Oh, man. So this was in 2009 or 2010. So the way I got started in video games was through the community blogs on IGN.com. And I met one Beesball and one Fozzie the Gamer. And we...
Beesball.
I still don't know what it means. I've known the guy for 10 years. I'm just like, I love you unconditionally. It's fine. And so we all met through those blogs. And we were like, hey, let's start a podcast. So we started something called the Noobketeers, which was supposed to be like the Three Musketeers, but Noobketeers. Because noob...
Genius.
Noob was like the cool word of that time. And so we just started shooting a show, and it actually got us access to my very first E3 and my first PAX creds. I don't know how we got in, but we did. So that was like, 9 years ago.
9 years ago. And what about you, Khalif?
4 to 5 years ago. Almost 6 years ago. There was a seed that grew in the Bronx, and it was wonderful. And it was one of those things where, in the BX. Honestly, it was like, I felt stupid at my job and was like, yo, these blogs and no one's reading my stuff. So I need to do something different. And this is what the different thing was. So it was like, I need to be able to kind of speak about stuff in different ways. And that was the way it kind of borne itself out. But it was really because I did not want to feel stupid at my job. I was like, I love video games and I want to be able to talk about it with folks and talk about it smartly. And like, that's how Spawn and Me kind of came together.
Why podcasts? Was it because a lot of people nowadays is all about streaming and YouTube. Why podcasts? For you?
I have a very extensive background in digital video. I started my career in online at a company called musicplustv.com that later transformed into Vlaze, where I was streaming 5 days a week doing a morning news show that streamed at 8 a.m. Pacific time, and it was a 60-minute show. And the commercial breaks were music videos, but it was all live streaming video. And so I really went hard into digital video, and the reason why I transitioned literally more than a decade later, not to date myself too much, into podcasts is because there's been a renaissance in podcasts over the last couple of years. And it's a format that people are rediscovering and also discovering for the first time for people who maybe have never heard of podcasts before. I think everyone understands what the concept of a podcast is now, and they're tired of the traditional radio format where you get maybe 3 to 7 minutes of content and then you get an ad break that's 2 to 3 minutes long. And then you get another like chunk of content and then ads and content and ads. And people are growing weary of that in a digital streaming era where you can pay $9.99 a month to Apple, Google, Spotify, Pandora, what have you, mm-hmm. to get an ad-free format. And so we're seeing a rise in podcasting of people who are craving long-form content, who want something to listen to on their commutes, during their workouts, while they're doing their chores around the house. And we thought that podcast for What's Good Games would be a perfect format for us, not only because we're seeing the trends in content creators moving towards audio-only creation, but also because it's an easier point of entry for somebody who wants to make something, regardless if it's about video games or tech or knitting or fashion or what have you, because there's a ton of podcasts out there these days. Mm-hmm. And we thought that it would be the lowest barrier of entry for us to get our content out to as many people as possible around the world.
Mm-hmm. So real talk, I appreciate you making me sound real good. But when Andrea approached Alexa Ray, Carias, Christine Steimer, and myself about doing a podcast, I was like, man, podcast. Because like I said, I did the Noobketeers podcast from like 2009 to 2011. And then I did We're Not Dead, for which was a podcast about We're Alive, for about a year and a half as well. But that ended in 2013. And I thought maybe podcasting was just like not a viable thing anymore. I didn't think that people actually listened. So when you came to me and you're like, let's do a podcast, I'm like, oh, that'd be cute.
Yeah.
But you know, that's really about how that conversation went. I could see the like, oh, I want to work with you, but maybe not that. But she wouldn't say that to my face.
No, I was just excited for the opportunity to work with like you and like two other amazing ladies. But I honestly was ignorant. I had no idea, like, the renaissance of podcasting. I was like, yeah, that's still around. That's cool. But that was it. But yeah, obviously, I was very wrong.
So before we go with you, so what was it that changed your mind? Like, you know what? This is, we're going the right path.
I think it was the day we launched our Patreon. And that was when we saw overwhelming support that completely blew our minds and our expectations. We were not expecting that, not only from our colleagues, but from people that we had never really heard of. They're like, oh, you have like four women doing this cool gaming podcast. We want to support that. Really? You know, I don't think any of us were expecting that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that was when I was like, okay, she was right.
Ooh, I love hearing those words.
Khalif?
I was a child of college radio. So like when I was in school, we had an underground hip hop show that I loved to be able to do. And that was like the first entry into the space for me to kind of like use my voice in a different way than what I was used to. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted to kind of have the foundation of music be a part of the gaming content that I wanted to do, because I thought that was an interesting take on it. But it was also one of those things where I felt like this was an intimate kind of medium where you could talk to people in a way that you don't usually get through the other ways that you would kind of get content around. Like, I was a huge fan of Giant Bomb and Weekend Confirmed and the One Up Show and all those things. And those were like the foundational pieces of media where I was like, oh, people are able to kind of talk about games in a smart way, in a fun way, and bring those people and community together in a new and interesting way. So it was like being able to do that work while also kind of figuring out like, oh, I can have a different spin on this than other folks are constantly already doing or in that space already doing. Mm-hmm. That was the kind of new step that I was like, oh, we can do this. It's something that would be different.
Now, how hard is to, because sometimes a lot of PRs or marketing folks would be like, it's not video, it's audio. I want to show our games. Is it challenging for you, like, as content creators, to tell them like, no, we have a podcast? Like how is it for you? Like, is it challenging behind the scenes for everybody or not?
Well, I think we are just in a fortunate position where Andrea Steimer, Alexa, and I, when Alexa was part of the show, we all had worked in the industry for a very long time. Yeah. So through our individual experiences in the industry, we had built partnerships and relationships. Mm-hmm. So when we told everyone, or hey, this is a thing we're doing, we're all joining forces, we're creating a podcast, all of our partners and friends and colleagues were on board with us. So for us personally, it wasn't difficult to sell on what we were doing.
Mm-hmm. I would say yes and no. She's not wrong, but I think what
That's right.
we were also, what we also were selling was a more intimate conversation style of coverage than we had done previously, because I am of the mindset that nobody watching gameplay on our YouTube channel wants to watch me stumble through a demo I've never played before versus a developer who is giving provided B-roll or provided gameplay that they've captured in studio of somebody who's intimately involved with the project, who knows the ins and outs of that game, and making it look flawless. Because we're in such a era of oversaturation of let's play and gameplay content both on YouTube and Twitch that people want to seek out the best of the best, the people who have a specialty or who are pro level players or who have a very specific point of view. And when they're going to watch that gameplay, they want that gameplay to be good. And when we started What's Good, I was like, I don't want to open ourselves up to random criticism about how good we are at whatever game we're playing. Instead, I want to focus on the stories that we're trying to tell with the development teams that we get the opportunities to speak with. So in order to have those conversations, if you take that video editing element out of it, you're able to strip away the visual distraction and focus on the conversation. And that's what I've really loved about this transition into podcasting. Now, that's not to say that we don't have video content as well when it makes sense to. We, as Brittany mentioned, we're very fortunate to have support out the gate. One of our first goals when we launched our Patreon was to do a video of the podcast. And let me tell you, we were not prepared. We were like thinking just our moms were going to support us on our Patreon and we were just going to make our podcast every week and have a place to talk about our hot takes with Pokemon and Dragon Ball Z and it would be great. And then we hit our first goal like within hours of launching our show, and then we're like, well, crap.
I guess we got to figure out how to
do video for the show. And so while we have a YouTube channel, we do supporting streaming content from time to time. It's not our focus. Our focus is let's have great, meaningful conversations and not worry about the video element.
And you, Khalif?
I mean, it's varying levels of hard, right? Where it's like, 10 years ago, if you were in the gaming podcasting space, you were kind of a, you know, you weren't a dime a dozen at that point. You were very new to the space and you were doing something that wasn't really in that space. Now it's super saturated. There are like so many podcasts now. And so like when we started about 5 years ago, we were already late to the table. You know what I mean? Like we were already late to the party in that way. So it became a little bit more difficult where, you know, in terms of, you know, what were the wins that you wanted to get? You know, you said either you can try to do kind of the same gaming content that everybody else is doing, or you can look at it from another angle and try to figure out where your voice can be heard in a space that is full of voices and full of folks who are in it already. And, you know, it's more difficult, I would say, kind of getting that visibility now. But I think that the thing that we've been able to do has been to be able to have kind of smart conversations about race and politics, and also be very focused on dev relationships and kind of build that bridge between, you know, the consumer and the dev teams, between, you know, whatever that gap is. And I think that that's one of our goals. It's particularly one of my goals, is to kind of make the folks who are buying the games understand that the people who are making them are human beings. And I feel like that is one of the important things that we try to do every week when we have folks on as guests, is to make sure that people understand that they go home and they do the same things that you do. They have, you know, no one goes into this industry trying to make a bad game. No one goes into this industry trying to spend 40 hours a week away from their, you know, away from their families when they're doing overtime or whatever to make you a bad product. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a part of that goal, but it makes it a lot harder when you're trying to market yourself or when you're trying to put yourself out there in different spaces because the industry is so full.
Before we start talking about like predictions and E3 and whatever, so was there a moment that inspired you, like, you know what, I want to become a content creator? Was there an article or a video or maybe someone from the industry that inspired you to start creating content?
I don't want to be that girl that's like, I never got inspired because I never wanted to do this. I think what it came down to for me is I've been working in this space, in the digital media space, coming from a broadcast journalism background for a very long time. And I've always wanted to make content, but being a content creator is something different than being like a staff writer or a beat reporter or a correspondent on a variety of different news outlets, right? Like being a content creator means you are taking control and really doing all of the work soup to nuts, right? Like you are conceptualizing the idea, you're building the channel, you're making the art, you're writing the metadata, you're shooting it, you're doing the post-production, you're doing the pre-production, you're answering the emails. Like you literally are doing it all. And Brittany's like raising her hand, and even just the few things that I mentioned are still just like the tip of the iceberg as to what a content creator does. And anybody who actually works at it full time knows that it's just so much work. And so for me, I was always very resistant because I wanted to focus on the creative of it. I didn't want to focus on the building of the brand. And I've been so inspired by Brittany as a partner in what we're doing with What's Good as to like learning from her and her teaching me like this part of the business that I had never known before and really getting inspired by not just what she does, but what our community brings to the table as well. And saying, I never saw myself as a content creator. I mean, I came up in this business working at a company like Machinima, like a multi-channel network. And it was my job to go find content creators and bring their content to Machinima. Like that literally was my job description. And then I went from there into Defy, where I got to oversee people like Smosh Games and work with brands like Game Trailers, who truly have built brands from the ground up. And I've always been inspired by people like Ian and Anthony, who started the Smosh brand, and go, you know what? They are the literal definition of a content creator. They had an idea. These were two friends that were like, I just want to like make some funny videos on the internet. And they built it into a $1 million brand, you know, and they have hundreds of thousands of fans, if not millions of fans around the globe. And so people like that kind of triggered this thing in me to be like, maybe I could do it too. Maybe people care enough about what I have to say that I can make something that means something to somebody. But I was resistant. I was dragging, kicking, and screaming. I didn't want to do it because I was like, I see how much work it was. But once we launched What's Good, and as Brittany mentioned, we got this overwhelming appreciation and support and the reception for what people wanted from us and saying, hey, I needed your voice in this world and I didn't know that I needed it as much as it is. And the messages that we get, the people that send in emails or write to us on Twitter or Facebook, that is really what inspires me to keep creating content in the days where I'm like beat down by the busy work.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's crazy because there's more podcasts, right? So I remember who it was that we started a conversation about, like, there's so many podcasts. Is it too much?
Mm.
And a lot of content creators, they're probably going to be hyped for like a short moment. And then a lot of them probably just give up because they probably don't see the results. But
well, they burn out, right?
They burn out. Yeah.
But it's hard.
But here's the thing. Like, I love that you girls are doing your thing. You, Khalif, with Spun On Me. Because less people that listen to your show, and maybe that will get them into podcasting, and they're going to discover other shows, and maybe eventually they'll find us because of What Good Games or Spun On Me.
Or vice versa. Maybe yeah, there's same. People that listen to Gamertag Radio that maybe have never heard of What's Good Games and what we do and our yeah. corner of the industry. And mm-hmm. I think that's what's so fantastic about people like us working together and shooting stuff and recording stuff together is like we all share a common passion, and that's games. We all love games. We love to play games. We love people who make games. And I think that's what unifies us as a community and as a culture is that mm-hmm. passion. But I think we all have different perspectives on it. And like what we talk about on our show was different than what, you know, Khalif and his crew talk about. And it's different than what you and Paris
and Paris and Pete.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brittany, you want to say anything? Is it?
Yay.
Sorry, I was talking for a lot there. That's on me.
It's okay. Brittany,
no, that was great.
Always so patient with
yeah.
me.
Oh, you have great things to say. I love you. Yeah. So I think the original question was why content creation, right?
Yeah.
Why?
Or who inspired you? Or maybe you just...
Man, we're talking about this at dinner, right? So for me personally, I was working a job at the Department of Corrections headquarters in Washington, and it was a pencil pushing administrative job. Mm-hmm. And I was super unhappy there. I was working with a bunch of people who just kind of had like a super pessimistic point of view. And anyone who knows me knows I'm like a bundle of like, oh my God, everything is so great. It can be really annoying sometimes.
It's great. It's lovely. We all love it.
What's up with that sound
effect? Hashtag content.
Oh my God, I love you. Yeah. And it was just a real Debbie Downer. And I found myself in this cycle of like, I don't know what I want to do, but this pays well for an 18-year-old and it gives me benefits and I'm self-sufficient and I'm living in my own place. I have health insurance. Like, life is great.
You had your own apartment at 18?
Yeah, girl.
Dang. Wow. Brittany, you were like, wow. Yeah, you were making money.
I was, yeah. So that's what I mean. By money, if you mean $25,000 a year, and
more than I was making
in Washington. Right. And so I felt like I had it as good as I was going to get, but I found that my personal happiness was really low and I was really unhappy. And so I'm like, what the hell am I going to do that's going to bring me happiness? And I never really knew it. So
until she looked at her collection of Zelda paraphernalia and was like, I got it.
That was my shrine. I prayed to that thing every day. No, so at that point I was working, you know, your 40 hours a week, but I also had a 3-hour commute every day. So I would wake up around 4:30 in the morning and get back at like 7 at night. And that was my life. And I'm like, this is dumb. Why am I doing this? But I came home one night during June of 2009. And so E3 coverage was going on. And I turn on G4 and Adam Sessler and Morgan Webb are on there talking their thing. I'm like, this is really cool. And around that time, I had been lurking on the IGN blogs, reading fan reactions to E3 news, just lurking, not commenting or anything. And I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to start my own blog today. So I open up my laptop on the couch and I started writing, and the title of this post still makes my skin crawl, but it was just a gaming chick venting. And it's
Why does it make your skin crawl?
A gaming chick?
That's kind of great, though.
You know what? Every time you create like your first content online,
you always start from the darkest part of the well, and you work your way up. Anyway, so
someday remind me to show you my Mahalo games or my Mahalo videos today. Mahalo Daily? Mahalo Daily. That was it.
Oh my God.
The how to shoot a gun video.
Were you wearing a bikini?
Oh, I need to see this.
No, I was not. Were you?
That would have been perfect if you were.
Oh, I need to see
this. If I show you my first episode that I recorded in 2001, I have it on cassette. It sounded pretty bad.
I mean, my first episode was amazing.
Really?
Oh, no, it wasn't.
Really?
Get out of here. No, and
there's
I think that's why I say it makes my skin crawl, because obviously you hear this about a lot of creators, is you look at your first piece of work and you're like, oh my God, that was so bad.
Yeah.
Whatever. The point is it was like, but at the time, what it did is it lit a fire under my butt that I didn't know I had. And it ignited a passion of mine that I didn't know existed, right? And so I was like, oh, I'm getting feedback. I'm communicating with people who also love video games. And this is really cool. And I'm getting comments and people are reaching out to me. And so content creation was never anything I sought out. It was just something I kind of stumbled into, and it changed my life, right? Because like here I am 10 years later. So yeah, it was never something I wanted to do, but I found that it's like, I love doing this. This is really cool.
I have a list of people who inspired me, actually.
How much time do you have?
Yeah, I know. It's 22 minutes now.
It'll be a fast list. Adam Sessler's Bioshock review.
That was a pretty big one.
Was huge for me.
Yes, that's a big one.
That was a huge moment for me. Yeah. Robin Huneke did a wonderful conference talk at something, and she talked about kind of, you know, the idea of what it means to be in the space and kind of how to kind of bring joy to the space. I remember that very, very specifically. That was a huge turning point. Again, like Ryan Davis, Jeff Gerstmann, all the Giant Bomb crew. I remember the last episode of We Can Confirm when everybody cried.
Oh, I was there.
You were there.
And that was like, that was like
so
a
sad.
And that was like a really seminal moment for me, because I was like, I'd listened to that show forever and loved everyone on the crew. And it was like one of those things when Garnet cried, because I love Garnet. And like when Garnet cried, Garnet never cried until he was drunk, but it was great.
That's a true story.
And then when Garnet cried, I cried, because I was like, oh crap, Garnet's crying, and everybody else is going to cry, and everyone's going to cry. And
I miss Garnet.
I love you, Garnet. But it was one of those things of like, I saw how much people cared about each other in those spaces, and I was like, I want to be able to find people in my own tribe and be able to have those conversations too. So it's like, I love Cicero and I love Reef, because they're like, hold me down and like make sure I'm like good in real life and besides the podcast life stuff. But they were like huge. It was like a whole bunch of people. Shane Bettenhausen and Luke Smith. When they were doing stuff in One Up days. Like
One Up show.
All fantastic conversations that I didn't hear, because it was high level stuff, but it was also like kind of nitpicky and petty stuff that was like in between those spaces. And it was great to see that camaraderie mm-hmm. and those people like have that love for each other and care about each other's conversations and feelings. So mm-hmm. it was like all those folks in that space were super, and Guy Kroll, a lot of people in that space. So
yep. So I think it's time to talk about like predictions.
I did not know this was going to be a prediction show, Dan.
No.
Hoodwinks me.
I'm just in the mood right now because I've been drinking. So.
Nintendo Switch 2.
So
no, stop it.
Next gen. Foldable like, Nintendo what Switch. Are your predictions on, because people already heard my opinion and Paris and Pete for this year. I think PlayStation, the next PlayStation and Xbox 2020, we're probably going to see more of like the streaming service from Xbox with Nintendo Switch and all the mobile, tablet, all that stuff maybe this year. And I think, Gears of War 5, that's going to be like the first game to really push the streaming service this year. I mean, what is your predictions on from now, next year, like,
oh boy, this is a giant question.
No, I'm drunk, by the way.
No, it's fine.
This is a big question.
Yeah, sorry.
Tell me what's in your crystal ball for all of video games from now until the end of time.
This is an easy question. No, it's totally fine. No, yeah. I'm joking. I think, like, I agree with you because I've had these conversations with my Uber drivers for the past couple of days.
They'll always mention Fortnite, of course.
Like, I honestly had an Uber driver ask me, do you think video games is going to go away in the next 5 years? And I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah. Do you know how much money?
No way.
$70 billion, you fool.
You fool. Like, legit. So I agree with you in the sense that I think that Xbox is going to gear towards more streaming on platforms. I think they're gonna lean very heavily into that. I think PlayStation is in a position where they don't need to innovate that much. They can just put out a killer ass, bomb ass console and people will be happy because they have all those exclusives.
And Nintendo, because you're a Nintendo fan. So
I mean, the Switch just came out a couple years ago, right? So yeah. I don't think that's going
Switch
away anytime soon.
2017.
Yeah, Switch so 2. I think Switch 2, get out of here. No, there's no need for that. I think maybe like a Switch V2, maybe.
That's what he's talking about, he's though.
Not a Switch. Okay, Switch 2, do you mean like a successor to the Switch or like a step up?
He means like a 1.5 Switch.
Yes.
Or like a smaller,
a bigger screen. He
I think a smaller
Nintendo
version.
Nintendo 3DS. But 2DS.
But like a new 3DS XL.
3DS XL.
Yeah, they'll
Xbox One Slim. PS4 Slim.
Yeah, so 3DS is Pro. 3DS is dead.
3DS is enjoying its golden years of life.
They're, sunset, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. There's still, you know, until that price point of the Switch can drop down, I think you're going to continue to see the 3DS because Nintendo's whole goal, right, is to have multiple Switches per household. But how can a parent justify that when they have like 17 kids and that price?
$80 for those goddamn Joy-Con.
Why so expensive?
I don't know.
It's unreasonable.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, unreasonable.
Yeah. So what I would like to see is Microsoft announce their new console and launch with Halo, launch with this rumored Playground Fable game, right, that we've been hearing about, launch with Gears. Like, that's what needs to happen, and then reveal these new IPs or what these studios, these new acquisitions are working on.
Time out. As a Nintendo fan,
yo,
the rumor is that, and I said this back in October, that I think it was when Microsoft announced xCloud, right, talk about tablets and mobile, and I was like, I could see them doing this Nintendo Switch, Samsung TV, like smart TVs, Apple TV, right? Do you think, let's say, if it's true that you could play Xbox games on the Switch, is that good? It's going to be good for Xbox, but do you think then Nintendo's going to be like, we're going to go for it all the way? No? Why?
No.
Why, Andrew? Why are you killing my dream?
Killing your dream?
Why?
Because Crackdown 3, my friend.
Damn.
That was supposed to be the game that showcased the power of Microsoft's cloud and the power of cloud streaming and the power of cloud computation with the Azure server farms. We're gonna show you how we're gonna do all of this amazing polygonal.
That's marketing speak. That's marketing speak.
Construction by processing all that in the cloud, and they fell on their face, Danny. And like, here's the thing.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's not. Are you okay,
Brittany? What the hell just happened with
it? Like, right, he jumped out of the glass.
I'm not saying it's like not possible for them to to actually complete it or achieve it, because they have more than enough resources. But with Google getting ready to announce their streaming project, their streaming box, which is what I've predicted at GDC here, the Game Developers Conference, even looking ahead of E3, right? I think that I would rather place my money on Google to be the first to put streaming on multiple consoles, because they have no allegiance to any of the platform holders, right? There's all these legal red tape kind of like BS things that are tied up with preventing Xbox Live from streaming on Switch. Like, that whole rumor is so laughable to me. And I said when I was hosting Kinda Funny Games Daily that I would drink two shots of Fernet, which is disgusting,
by
the
way.
Oh my
God, why?
I said if Nintendo allowed Xbox Live to stream on Switch, I would drink two shots of that, and I would eat crow, because I just, it's like the farthest thing from reality for me. And so, like, when I talk about what's exciting for me, this idea of like streaming with Xbox, I can't believe in, because they have to put their money where their mouth is before I take them seriously at their word. I was hoping that's what Crackdown 3 was supposed to be, because in 2014, that's what they said that they were going to do, and then they failed.
No one had high expectations for Crackdown.
Here's an interesting point to add to that.
All right, sure. Go. One thing before Khalif says his interesting point.
Okay. Yes.
They never, but they set up the expectation that it wasn't about if the game was going to be good. It was about the technology that they were pitching to say, this is supposed to be the first game that's going to showcase what cloud computing can do on the Xbox One. And it failed. Khalif.
I agree with you on the fact that that version of cloud stuff failed, right? Like, that thing is not good. It's not going to be in a good spot. We all know that. But like GDC, like 4 years ago, they were talking about the proliferation. That's the word actually I wanted to use. All their stuff being on everything that you could use, right? Mm-hmm. That is coming true. Like, that's not happening. That's going to be a thing that's happening.
You think you're going to be able to play Xbox games on your iPhone?
Yes. Totally.
Yes.
Yeah,
I totally believe that. 100%. Yes.
And the reason I believe that is because of the thing that you just talked about the Google streaming stuff and some of those platforms. That technology has been in the space for a long time. That's happened with Gaikai. That happened with all that stuff. And before.
What's it? OnLive?
OnLive. All those things are happening, right? There's streaming services for it.
Oh, yeah.
OnLive.
Didn't Gaikai buy them?
No, Gaikai was a separate streaming service that Sony bought. Gaikai.
Right. But I think that the part of that conversation about, like, will those things actually move over to those platforms? I feel like, I know it was for show, and I know that it was all like Jeff Keighley's baby to have everyone on the stage at the Game Awards. But I think that the part of the conversation that I feel moved forward was the ability to have all the companies, and they're already talking. It's not like folks are not friends behind the scenes. They're actual friends. Those conversations are happening already. It's just a matter of like getting the other parts of the deal done that will make it good for everybody else. It's the thing that we saw. The thing that I always have told people is like the people that you need to be thanking is Epic Games right now. Epic Games has moved that conversation forward with Fortnite, putting things on multiple different systems and multiple platforms. And they can help move that conversation along if Microsoft and Nintendo get this deal done.
No, it's going to happen. Right. It's going to happen.
Because it's going to happen. It moves the goalposts for Sony.
And Brittany, go ahead. So I want to say something to,
because
to
we know Anthony, Xbox so. Live is coming to Switch, right? And so that's where everyone's like, oh my God, never. Yeah.
No, we don't. That's like the roomiest rumor ever.
That's not a confirmed GDC
Andrew, it's going
to
happen.
Xbox though. Live on Switch? No.
Can I say something to Andrew?
It's the most bogus rumor ever.
Say something to Andrew? Okay, so.
Sure.
Okay. All right.
You got a source? Hot scoop.
So what's this whole thing about Xbox Live coming to Switch? That's not a confirmed thing, even though it's not a GDC.
It's definitely not a. You know what else was almost a confirmed rumor? The Nintendo NX. You remember that thing? Someone built out a 3D model. I will fight you here, and I apologize for.
Sorry, it's fine.
Okay, because I feel like all the reports I read about this were, you know, it's a confirmed GDC scheduling thing where this is going to happen, and it's not.
No, it's not even close. It's the conversation supposedly is there, but again, like, I am skeptical of it. But I do feel like those parts of the conversation that happened alongside the Game Awards stuff, I don't know how that changes with Reggie leaving. I'm sure that Bowser and the rest of the folks are going to have a great conversation about some of
those. We can just call him Bowser now.
Bowser.
What up, Doug? Bowser.
Doug Bowser is a very nice man.
Yeah, he's very nice. But I feel like those conversations are going to be in that
okay,
space.
So my position has changed because I thought this was a confirmed like scheduled panel thing. Mm-mm. The fact that it isn't, okay, now I'm retracting a little bit. Because what I was going to say is like, I think we're in a world where this is like cuckoo bananas. But it's not impossible.
Mm-hmm. Cuckoo bananas, because it's fake news, Brittany.
No, it's not. It's real news.
Yep. Everything.
So do you have a scoop here to talk to us about?
Andrea, let's go back when Xbox announced Xbox One S.
Okay, I'm listening.
What was the difference between that console and the previous consoles?
It's smaller. It has integrated power supply.
Continue.
Processor is slightly slower but more affordable.
Continue.
And it's Nintendo Switch.
No, no.
That's what the S was for.
You know what was the difference?
It's white.
No. Besides that, the controllers are Bluetooth.
But so what?
So
the DualShock is also Bluetooth.
Here's the thing: every device has a Bluetooth feature. So if this streaming service pops up, I could easily connect my controller to any device. They've been working on this for a very long time.
But how does this connect to the Nintendo Switch?
Okay, with the Nintendo Switch, is because, all right, it doesn't have Bluetooth.
So negated your own argument.
No. but like when they announce xCloud, they're talking about mobile, all that stuff. The Switch is kind of like a Xbox 360.
Let me stop you there for a second and remind you that you cannot browse on an internet browser Switch.
No, I'm not talking about browsers.
And that's how Google or PS4. Streaming would work.
All right.
Through your browser. So, yep. And Switch doesn't have it. The 3DS has an internet browser, but Nintendo Switch does not.
It does not. But there's two games that you could play streaming only in Japan. It's Resident Evil. What was the not Resident Evil 7? Resident Evil 7
and Odyssey.
And Odyssey, you could play in Japan. You got to pay monthly, of course, but you could play it as a streaming service, and you could play the game. So why not? Nintendo say like, you know what? We allow Xbox to have either Game Pass or the streaming service to the Switch. What? At the same time, it's like, I play Xbox a lot, right? And I have a Switch.
I'll tell you why in a second.
Oh, okay.
I think we both know why.
Okay. So let's say I'm part of Xbox Live. I'm going to continue playing. This will be perfect for me to continue playing my game from Xbox to the Switch portable. And I think it will help also in Japan because, honestly, Nintendo Switch is selling more than a PlayStation 4. No?
No. I was waiting for you to finish.
But I'm just saying, like, I could see that happening because if they say, look, we're gonna have Xbox, mobile, and tablets streaming-wise, so you could play all the earlier games, why not Nintendo Switch? At the same time, it will help the Switch sell even more because it's portable. Like, Nintendo's not gonna say no.
No, let me tell you why this dream of yours is going to die in a fire.
Wow, she's hating.
I'm not hating. I know what she's going to say.
I'm going to come at you with some business. Here's the thing.
Okay.
First off, Microsoft has no vested interest in selling hardware for Nintendo because Microsoft isn't getting royalties or a split on Nintendo's hardware. So first off, they don't care what Nintendo sells.
That's not the point.
What you're saying would be amazing and beneficial for gamers, 100%. We agree there. But it's never going to happen because money and lawyers. And the reason why it's not going to happen is because a lot of these software deals are very specifically structured on platform fees and platform percentages and royalties. Mm-hmm. And so if a game comes out to multiple platforms, the platform holder then takes a certain percentage of that game sales.
Yes.
And when we're talking about a world where we're doing subscription services, that thing just mucks it up. And we're seeing that ripple effect right now in the music industry where a lot of artists are really struggling to make money off of streaming platforms because there's no unified monetary policy about what percentage of royalties and splits we get from each of the different streaming platforms. It's not different. They're just starting to come to a unified agreement about where they're going to go. But software and intellectual property are something that's very difficult to monetize consistently over platforms. Mm-hmm. And because of that, that's why you're not going to see software from other platforms existing on another piece of hardware. Because let's take a game like Assassin's Creed Odyssey. It's a third-party game. It's available on multiple platforms. They have a specific negotiated deal with PlayStation for how much they had to pay PlayStation for that game to publish on that platform. Just like they've made a different deal with Xbox because they have a marketing sponsorship with Xbox. So they have a much more complicated deal. And then they had to make a deal with Google to be like, we're going to be the first AAA game on Project Stream. Like, the legality of it alone is enough to make your head spin, and that's why you're not going to see this vision of yours come true.
Also,
so time out.
Go ahead.
A couple of things. Let's take it back to the DS days. Bungie was working on the Halo game for the DS. It never came out. But there's videos online. You can search on Google right now that they were working on a Halo game for the DS. Microsoft also released Viva Pinata for the DS.
There's a gigantic difference between taking a specific property and releasing it on another platform.
Yes.
Microsoft is clearly the publisher of Minecraft. That uh-huh. game appears on multiple platforms.
Yes.
There's a gigantic difference between mm-hmm. saying this one game and this game, cherry picking a specific IP mm-hmm. and blanketing going all of Xbox Live is going to be available on Nintendo Switch.
But the thing is,
that like just will never happen.
Okay, so the rumor
Xbox
is
Xbox Live or Xbox Game Pass? Both, neither will happen. Because there's over 100 games in Xbox Game Pass, and I bet my bottom dollar that Xbox Legal is not going to renegotiate each game
is different
royalty deal for it to stream on Nintendo.
I'm sorry. I truly apologize. I'm just like...
literally raising his hand in the corner being like, I got something to say.
It's like Netflix. It's like Netflix in different countries, right? Paris... I think he went to another country in Europe, and there was content there that was not available in the US.
Correct.
Microsoft could do the same exact thing for Game Pass. So it would be like, all right,
why?
To benefit
Nintendo?
No, but here's the thing. At the end of the day, it's about their service, and at the same time, give that percentage of subscribers from Nintendo Switch to Nintendo. I can see that.
Khalif, it's your turn.
Go before I continue.
Here's my question of the room, because I love you, Danny, but I feel like
it's going to happen.
17 carts before 17 horses.
It's going to happen. Guaranteed.
Have we not has Nintendo's online service gotten beyond the level of booty butt cheeks since the time we've done this?
Hold on.
Pause on that.
Booty butt cheeks.
No. Pause on that. Xbox Live is available for PC, correct?
Sure.
PC gamers are not paying for Xbox Live. I could see the same exact thing for
Xbox Live is available for free if you only play on PC. I thought you had to also have an Xbox.
No. If you have Xbox Live, let's say you have a PC and you got the Xbox app or whatever, you download these games, you don't have to pay for Xbox Live for the PC. At all. So I could see the same exact thing for other...
But the only benefit to that is what the free games that they have
cross-platform and all that stuff.
I could understand if Microsoft was going into a deal with Nintendo to say, we are going to help with the cloud to help you build out your infrastructure so your online services is not, again, booty butt cheeks. But if they were doing that deal, that would make a lot of sense to me. There is I'm on team Andy when it comes to I don't see how the benefit behooves Microsoft in this particular space when Nintendo, a very Japanese company, has not figured out still how to build out their online infrastructure to a place that people are going to use it besides Tetris 99.
Let me tell you right now. Don't kill my dream, and don't kill a lot of people's dreams.
Mira, it's booty my cheeks.
But when it happens,
it's an illogical dream, my friend.
You gotta give me props though. When it happens,
I don't believe it.
I guess my question to you is what? Because this is what it comes down to. What does Nintendo benefit from?
Sell more hardware. Hardware wise, it will sell.
So you think Microsoft will be like, hey, buy the Nintendo Switch and play Halo on the go?
Yeah, but that's the streaming side. I'm talking about let's say they could easily. You really, Andrew? Really? You really don't think that's going to happen?
No one wants that experience.
Microsoft want to do that.
Yo, it's going to happen.
They sell their own hardware. Yeah. Android, and the Xbox One S is cheaper than a Nintendo Switch.
Yes.
So why on earth would they promote a competing platform when they can sell their own? As you said, if you buy an Xbox One S, the cheapest way to get into the Xbox family, you get Play Anywhere on PC included for free.
You know what's
the
difference?
Why would they not push that? I think that they would push their cloud computing services to say, hey, do you have an Android phone? We will sell you a dongle, or you don't even need a dongle for the Xbox One controller now. You can play Halo through our proprietary streaming service on your phone with the Xbox One controller. Nintendo Switch be damned.
I think that does make more sense. I mean, I love to be hype, and I love the dream, and I think it would be cool. But it's like she said, you know, why would Microsoft promote? I mean, granted, they've been getting buddy-buddy on social media, but they're still competitors, right?
Yeah. It is.
So why would they promote the Nintendo Switch as a hardware competitor when they can say, hey, everyone already has an iPhone, everyone already has an Android, everyone already has an iPad, use that. That does not cut into our, like,
On the go. And it's already, the controller's already there.
But you have it on the go.
It is on the go, Danny.
But you really think that Nintendo's going to say no? Like, no, what is it they're losing by them saying no?
This has nothing to do with Nintendo. Right. I think this is not Nintendo's decision to make. I think Nintendo is holding out their hands saying, please, sir, give me some more. And really hoping for some charity if they're really talking about getting Xbox properties.
Hold on.
But the thing that I think we're not talking about here is Nintendo inherently does its own thing because they have a very specific brand that caters to a hardcore fanboy audience that have been Nintendo diehards for their entire life.
Yep.
Literally decades worth of Nintendo history. People that love Nintendo and are buying the latest Animal Crossing or Pokemon Go or Breath of the Wild or whatever Nintendo franchise I'm going to name don't care what's happening with Xbox.
You could give.
They only care about Nintendo. So there's no benefit to Nintendo fans for Xbox to do a cross partnership. The only person that would benefit from it is Xbox, and they wouldn't really benefit from it because the Nintendo fanboys and the Xbox fanboys are inherently different gamers. Now, I'm not trying to say that there isn't some crossover. Obviously, that Venn diagram overlap exists, clearly. But I think those two audiences are so siloed in a way that business-wise, there's just no scenario that you can convince me that they should have this scenario that you think is going to happen.
So, before you go.
Good.
If it happens, will you say I was right? If it happens.
I would shit.
Do you want to do a bet?
Yes.
What do you want to bet?
$5.
No, not $5.
We got to have some more stakes than that.
$5. Nah, $5.
Friendly bet.
Soy sauce wine.
$20, $50?
I mean.
$150 bucks?
I will do more than 50 because I am so confident that you are wrong.
I'm confident.
What?
I'm very confident.
How about before we lay what's at stake, lay down exactly what the bet is?
Yeah.
Let me think about it. But I'm ready. I'm ready to make a bet. I'm ready to make the bet.
To answer your question.
But you don't know what the bet is.
No.
If it were to happen that at GDC next month, oh my God, Xbox Live is coming to Switch. Cool. What does that mean? Right? That just opens up more questions. Mm-hmm. Whenever it happens, if it ever happens that Xbox games come to the Switch, I will crap my pants.
No, you are going to crap your pants.
I will go streaking down the street.
I'm confident.
In happiness, and I will have confetti falling from the sky, and there will be rainbows and unicorns everywhere.
One of the sessions at DGC was about...
Khalif is raising his hand.
I know. Xbox Live in multiple devices, and is also Nintendo Switch is also part of that list of their session at GDC. Why would they do that?
That's what I was talking about earlier.
It doesn't exist. This thing that you think exists about GDC in a session does not exist.
That's not the way GDC works.
Okay, I just saw that line, so I'm like,
wait, where'd you see it?
Media outlets.
Don't be that guy. Don't be that fake news.
No. It's not fake news. But I'm saying your favorite media outlet reported, so it's like, okay.
What favorite media outlet?
I mean, all the big ones did, because this was the week that I was running the show.
Is this off of Imran Khan's article on Game Informer, his rumor report? Is that what we're basing this off of?
I remember reading that.
I remember is like I consider myself like very knowledgeable in this. And when I saw this, I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. But it was on all of the major websites and nothing mentioned a rumor. It was all being reported as fact. This is a thing that's happening, which is why.
I'm going to Google this on my phone while we're talking.
Yeah.
All right, so let's Khalif say something because he has his
hand. My hand has been raised
is
for 20
tired
minutes.
Yet?
For a while now.
I have a cramp in my arm.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
I am of the ilk of not wanting this to happen if it does happen.
God, you guys are like hating on this
idea.
I'm
not hating. I don't want an inferior version of a game that I could have on a really beefy system to be on my Nintendo Switch with my medium-sized hands that I have to worry about playing these games on a console that I want to play other stuff. I don't want that crossover to be there. It would be great for the industry. I just don't think that, again, Microsoft, unless they were to get out of the business of making hardware, then it would make sense. If they are not making that move, which we know they are not because they have two, probably three, maybe versions of SKUs coming out soon, that it would make sense for that whole idea to happen. I would say, in the grand scheme, without the Switch being whatever the Switch is now, because it's selling really well and it's doing really well, they're making their probably 2.0 version of it whenever they are. I don't see the benefit in that respect for that thing to happen.
Ever since the Switch came out, I wish every platform had a portable version like this. This is because I travel. I mean, granted, like I don't think the majority of people travel as much as I do.
Yeah.
But when I'm currently playing Metro Exodus, right, and I'm about to start playing Devil May Cry, and I'm playing XYZ, when I travel, I can't take those games with me, and that's a real pain in the butt, which is why I wish that more consoles had
this. But this is the thing, though, and I'm with you on that, right? And that's where I think that Microsoft, when they do leverage the cloud stuff that they have, or Google, or whoever
It'll
else is in
like
that
like your
space,
devices that you already
that
have.
Will be the thing that will move that thing forward, that conversation forward, of being like, well, okay, fine. Like, you don't need to have the specific device that you need that you would usually play this thing on because we have a version of it that will play well in the cloud. Again, I talk about this stuff at work often and there's things I just can't say. But there are parts of that conversation where everyone is looking to see who is the person who's going to get it right first. Mm-hmm. I would say in that same vein that Google has a really good chance at this because Project Stream worked really well.
But it was really good.
It worked really well. Yeah. I just don't know, again, like even if this thing happens, if it moves the space in a different direction, because I still believe Sony is still in the driver's seat regardless of how any of this stuff moves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're still waiting to see what Sony and PlayStation are going to do regardless of what happens with Microsoft and with Nintendo doing whatever they're doing. Even if they do something super dope at GDC, if Sony comes out and says, we have super mega ultra teraflops and we have all the things that you want and it's gonna play Last of Us 3 and it's gonna look amazing and break the uncanny valley, then that conversation changes in a way that absolutely everybody else in all those other camps are gonna perk up like prairie dogs and be like, yo, what is that? I want that. So it doesn't make that big of a difference even if they make that decision. I want Microsoft to do well in this space because I want them to do better than they did last generation or this generation because I think it adds and makes Sony make more steps, right?
Yeah,
I think what they've been doing in the past year has gone kind of under the radar in terms of they've made a lot of changes and they've made a lot of progress that people don't give them credit for, which is a whole other conversation that, you know, we can talk about at another date. But there's a lot of stuff in that space.
I think y'all sleeping on Microsoft, but all right.
No, I don't think we're sleeping, but I think, you know, we as people like us who pay attention to E3 and pay attention to the industry, we know what Microsoft has been doing. It, we've known for a while, right? They're preparing for a bomb next gen with all the studio acquisitions and Game Pass and all these cool things they're doing that, you know, Sony isn't doing as well. So I wouldn't say we're sleeping. I think we're probably looking at it from the perspective of someone who doesn't pay attention to industry like we do, right? And they don't quite. What do you got over here, girl?
All right. So Andrea, breaking news. You've been
breaking
searching
news.
Your phone.
And I might have to look on another site because there seems to be some conflicting reports. So
okay. All right.
The story was originally broke by Windows Central.
Yes.
And Windows Central said Microsoft wants to bring Xbox Live cross-platform gaming to Android, iOS, obviously, and Nintendo Switch and more. And this is according to the GDC, the Game Developer Conference website scheduler. Now, according to the Windows Central post, they said, quote, Xbox Live is one of the largest, most engaging communities. Now Xbox Live is about to get much bigger. It's expanding from 400 million gaming devices and a reach of over 68 million active players.
2 billion.
To over 2 billion devices with the release of our new cross-platform SDK. Get a first look at the SDK to enable game developers to connect players between iOS, Android, and Switch in addition to Xbox and any games in the Microsoft Store on Windows. But hold on. Let's like dive into this just a second. The takeaway, according to the original post, is that Xbox Live players are highly engaged and active on Xbox and PC, but now they can take their gaming achievement history, their friends list, their clubs, and with them to almost every screen. So taking Xbox Live, just the social features, to your phone or to your Switch is literally meaningless. And they say this will break down barriers for developers who want their communities to mingle freely across platforms. So this is literally not talking about playing games on other platforms. It's talking about social media on other platforms. However, there's a wrinkle. So that was the original session.
Yes.
I went to the GDC website. The name of the session is called Xbox Live, Growing and Engaging Your Gaming Community Across Platforms, presented by Microsoft. The description is now, get a first look at the SDK to enable game developers to connect players across platforms. There is nothing listed under takeaway, and there's nothing listed under intended audience.
Has that been modified? Do we know?
Do not know.
And I would say
it's been modified.
Because this is what I was talking about earlier. When I was like, this is confirmed thing, and everyone's like, no, it's a rumor. I'm like, is it? Because just from what I remember reading across multiple channels, like, this is a confirmed thing. Now, granted.
Right, but like, the headlines do not infer what the actual context of the GDC session talks about. There was a gigantic difference between Xbox games coming to Switch and Xbox Live social features coming to a Nintendo Switch
app.
So
that's why, right? It's believable that Xbox Live could come to Switch. Like, to me, like, that's no problem. And then that's why I'm like, well, if we're going to be crazy and take the next step further, but if the whole social aspect wasn't coming to Switch and that's all just a rumor, it's not going to happen, well, now it just seems a lot less plausible. But if this thing is happening, like, sure.
And the conversation around SDKs is, like, totally different in comparison to, like, the other larger part of the conversation. Like, look, the SDK that helped move, again, everything from Epic across PlayStation and all the other platforms, it is a feature that you can implement within your game to be able to open up those features for other players on other platforms. It doesn't mean that, one, they have to do it. Two, it doesn't mean that it's enabled. Well, not enabled. It's enabled. But it doesn't mean that you have to enable it for specific games besides the ones that you want to. Mm-hmm. So it could be a thing where, again, it's just like, I can see all the other folks right now. It's basically like if you were to do like, hey, I want my Steam friends to be in my Epic store right now. It's literally kind of that. It's like I can hit that button. That's a part of the programming that works in that space. So I can see those folks and talk to those folks.
And I want to just add a little bit of context from gamesindustry.biz to say, although Microsoft already requires an Xbox Live login for Minecraft on all other platforms save for PlayStation, so you're already getting Xbox Live on Nintendo Switch specifically to log in for Minecraft. Mm-hmm. This SDK should allow developers to implement Xbox Live cross-platform support, which we know cross-platform is a thing that's already happening.
Yes, yes.
Such as achievements and multiplayer directly into their games, from opening up its console exclusives to PC players, which they already are doing anyway. If you're playing a Xbox console exclusive, you can already play it on Play Anywhere with PC. That's been a thing for more than a year already. And advocating cross-platform play, which they're already doing. I think the real question mark here is Xbox Game Pass. And if that's something that you could play on Switch, which I stand by what I ranted about like 10 minutes ago, that's not going to happen.
And that was a long time ago.
Okay. I'm sticking with my theory.
So to rewind, okay. Yes. We all are in agreement that Xbox Live coming to Switch is a very plausible thing that can happen.
For social features only?
For social features. Yes. And that's what I was saying. Like, I think this is going to happen. But
I think maybe there was a miscommunication at the top of this conversation then, because I think what Danny was saying was different.
Like what?
Yeah, I think
like it was what?
Well, because what
different?
I said, what you said was, I think Game Pass could come to Switch. And I said, well, what we already know is that Xbox Live is coming to the Switch, and then everyone's like, no, that's just a rumor, that's not happening.
When I say Game Pass is coming to the Switch, it's not meaning like you could download the games and you could play it, but I think streaming service wise
Nintendo Switch can't do that.
They do it in Japan.
They don't have a browser.
But I'm saying right now you could play, if you live in Japan, you could play Assassin's Creed Odyssey and the latest Resident Evil game.
But that would have nothing to do with Xbox. That would be through the Nintendo eShop.
If they could do that, what makes you think that they can't do that with Xbox?
Money, honey.
Because it will benefit both companies, though. It will sell more hardware. It will get more people to subscribe to
the
service.
I'm not going
to
talk in a circle. I'm not going to do it.
It's all right.
Not going to reiterate what I already said, Danny. Not going to do it.
We're going to continue with this conversation back in behind the scenes.
We'll revisit this in like a year and see where we're at.
Yes. But if it happens, will you say I was right?
No, you have to lay down what the actual stakes are first, which you refuse.
Okay, so I'll be the mediator of this. So you think Game Pass is coming to Switch?
Beyond Game Pass. It's more of like, meaning Game Pass, there's probably going to be games like Ori the Blind Forest, Rare Replay, Cuphead, that you could actually download the Switch, published by Microsoft.
You're dreaming.
Remember this, folks.
No way, it's going to happen.
I love both of you. Okay, so
it happened with other games, though.
So you think Cuphead?
What game that you can download that was console exclusive on Nintendo Switch?
Viva Pinata was available for 3DS, the DS or 3DS. I can't remember the DS. It was available. It was published from Microsoft. Like it would happen back then.
You're saying Cuphead's gonna come to Nintendo Switch in 10 years?
No, okay, I don't know about 10 years.
Okay. How old is Viva Pinata again? I'm sorry. Can you remind me?
It was from the 360. I can't.
2009, 2010.
But it was available on the DS or the 3DS. I can't remember.
Okay, let me stop it.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So you think Cuphead's going to come to the Switch?
Yeah. If they did it with Minecraft, why not? They can do it with other games.
Okay, so...
Because it was on Switch before Minecraft.
Oh, my God. All right. We're almost going to wrap it up, but go on.
Okay. We're going to set some terms for this.
Yes.
By what time do you think you'll see games like a significant Xbox exclusive come to Switch? Like something that we're like, oh, my God. Not something that's like, meh.
Between 1 to 3 years.
Okay. So maybe even less.
2 years, year and two. Is that fair?
Are you okay with 2 years as a term of your agreement?
1 to 2 years.
I need you to re-say it for me altogether.
I said a significant Xbox exclusive. Well, that's going to make people clutch their panties and pearls and be like, "Oh my god!" So like Ori or Cuphead or something like that,
or the streaming service or Game Pass.
No, Danny.
What?
I'm going to come across this table and slap you in the face.
Wow.
You need to like make up your mind about what you want to actually talk about now.
I'm being real with you.
So a significant Xbox exclusive thing, like either it's Game Pass or a game or...
Maybe the X Cloud streaming service. Yes.
So a significant...
Between now this year to 2020, it's gonna happen.
Okay, between now and 2020. That's a fair bet.
Yes. Andrea is laughing, but you know what?
Khalif,
you're killing my dream right here. You're killing my dream.
Let me bring this down to a reasonable level.
Okay.
All this conversation about Microsoft and Nintendo being in bed and making all these wonderful new Game Pass kids.
Yes.
When Microsoft pulls out an actual exclusive that people care about, then we can have this conversation.
But see, you're talking about a totally different thing. Like, that's what I'm talking about.
That's real. No,
I get it. But
he's
talking about right now.
But that's
what I'm saying, though.
It's like we're talking really far down the line.
But that was not the conversation.
No, but I'm saying, like, of the things that Microsoft needs to be focusing on for their new console, that would be so low on the priority list to be like, yo, we need to move this thing from our particular thing that we're doing fairly well. Game Pass is doing well in terms of sentiment, in terms of people using it, and in terms of people buying into that process. For them to take that goodwill and good energy to move all that stuff over to a thing that kind of no one cares about, while they have a new console coming out,
I get it.
They need to have every person focused on bringing some new IPs and wonderful new first-party titles to their system so that they don't come out of the gate really, really badly for their new console.
Like they did last time.
That is the end of the story.
I'm going to burst your bubble and tell you that Viva Pinata for the Nintendo DS.
It was DS,
Was Viva Pinata Pocket Paradise. It was a DS exclusive. It never released on any other platform. It was developed by Rare's handheld team specifically for the Nintendo DS. There was a PC version that happened, but this was never an Xbox exclusive game that came to Nintendo. Boom!
I already finished my drink. Where's the mini bar?
Let's break this open. Danny, let's move on before we hate each other.
All right, let's move on. You want to promote anything before we wrap it up?
Of course I do. Listen. Lay
you know, I love
you.
Are
you tearing your hair out?
Yes.
As much as we are right now. If you like that feeling, then go to whatsgoodgames.com.
Oh, wow. Wow.
We're not this bad.
No, no, no.
We're all about, so our tagline for What's Good Games is an upbeat show for the nerd inclined. Mm-hmm. We are all about video game news, commentary, analysis, and funny stuff. That's what we say at the top of every show. Mm-hmm. We love to talk about games. We talk about some news. We give our perspectives on it. And our big pitch for our show was, we are a group of women that have more than 30 years of professional experience in the video games industry. And you should come and listen to our perspective because we have that real world experience working with developers, working with communities, working with multiple media brands. And if you like to have a good time, come check out our show. You can download us on any major podcast platform. You can find us at youtube.com/whatsgoodgames. You can find us on social media at Twitter, @whatsgood_games, on Facebook at facebook.com/whatsgoodgames. And hopefully you guys will like what you see. And if you feel like you want to support what we do and help promote women's voices in video games, patreon.com/whatsgoodgames is where you can do that.
Brittany?
Exactly what she said. You know, we run the same business, so it works out.
Yeah.
I don't have to say anything else.
And if you want to check out Brittany's facial reaction every time she drink wine, this is the perfect...
Well, technically, most of those are behind our Patreon exclusives. But yes, they are hilarious. What's Good Games Official on Instagram and, of course, at Blonde Nerd.
Yes.
If you want to get the real raw...
Raw.
Brittany faces.
Right. I'm really weird. That sounds real dirty, girl. You're making me sound like a porn star. You want my raw faces?
The real raw
Blonde
faces.
Nerd.
Khalif?
You can listen to Spawn on Me every Tuesday. We do a wonderful podcast about racing games and blackness and all that good stuff. You can check that out every Tuesday on all your podcast platforms. We are also now on Portland Radio. X-Ray.fm 91.1, 107.1. Oh, snap. I said that.
Yo,
like
you sound very professional.
That was really good. That's rolled off the tongue, man.
That was good.
You should do college radio. I'm just saying.
That's good. That's good.
And you can also check out my new project, This Is Dope, over on YouTube. We just got the URL because we got so many dope subscribers, so that's great. So you can check it out at youtube.com.
Do you call your fans dope heads?
I call them dope folks. Hashtag that's dope, better. Folks.
Dope folks.
Dope folks. Better than mine. Yes. That's why I don't dope do. Folks. Yeah.
Where we try to give a little joy and love back to the internet and be over there and be super positive about all that cool stuff. So definitely check out our work. And if you want to check out me personally, it's at @kajakins on Twitter.
Yeah. He loves chocolate chip cookies.
Yo.
He also has an unhealthy obsession with oatmeal raisin cookies.
No, girl. That are pretending to be chocolate chip cookies.
Chocolate chip cookies are the booty butt cheeks.
Oh,
wow.
We're officially in a fight now.
Yeah. Fight.
No, I just want to say thank you. It was a cool debate.
A spirited conversation.
Yeah, it was cool. And you know, I love y'all. Like, I'm happy that everybody's doing their own thing, podcasting and content creating wise. Like, it's pretty cool. So thank you for it. It's an honor to have y'all on the podcast. And we've been trying to do this for a couple of years.
We literally have. It's true.
And congrats, Danny, on 14 years.
14 years, man.
I feel old. I feel really old.
The rest of the crew, man. It's been a long time coming. It's fantastic.
Half as long as I've been alive. No, 14. That's right.
Yeah. I think, how's that feel? I feel old.
Your podcast is older than most of my debt.
Wow. Wow. On that note, we're going to wrap it up. And thanks for listening, y'all. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.